Well, let's pray, shall we? And we'll have a little look at some light. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We just bless you for your love for us again. And we pray, Lord, as we look at what your word tells us about you, Lord, we'll know more, but not just know more, experience you more, Lord, and worship you better because of our meeting with you. Lord, bless us and help us as we ask it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I was thinking about what to share this week, earlier on last week, and I thought, I've got some things for the next few weeks, in fact, and one word came to mind was light. I thought, oh, that's good. And then I looked at some of my old stuff that I'd done before, and apparently I did light last year as well. I'd forgotten about that. But not to worry, because this is something quite different. It's the same subject in a way, but something that the Lord showed me as well. So we're going to start right at the beginning. It says, God created light. And we read in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Now then, there's a thought that came to me, I thought was really something lovely and wonderful, to me at least, and it was this. You know how it says in John's Gospel, right in the beginning was the Word. Well, interestingly, we see in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let there be light. So, that's God active, isn't it? But in the beginning was the Word, is God in his presence, in his glory, in his being, as it were. So, there wouldn't be no light if God wasn't there in the first place. That's the point I'm trying to really get at there. And what's marvellous about light, I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's energy. God said right at the beginning, what do you need? I think we all know that sometimes, don't we? Energy. And light is energy. And it's amazing, really, to see all that we have around us now, all the life that exists, is supported by, I know it's God behind it all, but that sun provides the energy. If there was no sunlight, it would all stop. And that's quite something really, isn't it? And how much energy is there? Well, anybody made a bonfire recently? No, well, okay, but if you ever do make a bonfire, stand well clear because it gets exceedingly hot. And all that wood that you burn, the heat that comes out of it, where does it come from? From the sun. It's sunlight captured by the plants and turned into cellulose and stuff like that. It's not meant to be a science lesson. All I'm trying to say is, you know, we are dependent upon light. Yes, that's for our physical well-being. But we are dependent upon God's light, not just for our physical well-being, but for our spiritual well-being as well. So that's what we're looking at, and moving on from that. Well, I guess you've noticed that the days are getting shorter. Do not fear, it won't be long before they're getting longer. 21st, I think, is it that when it's the winter solstice? Well, here we have in the northern hemisphere, of course, it's lighter in the south. If you only go to Australia, it'd be different there. But in the northern hemisphere, December is associated with the darkest time of the year. It is called the winter solstice, at the lowest point of all. Dark, rather nice scene though, isn't it? But can you appreciate the dark? Or do you start suffering from that thing called sad? Well, it's a real sickness for some people, you know. Seasonal affective disorder. It can be quite tough living in parts of the world where it's dark for a lot of the time. Well, the Romans, and like so many nations in the past, were worried when the light got shorter, you know. The days got shorter, and they tried to cheer things up. And they had a feast called Saturnalia. It was to worship the god Saturn. Crazy idea. Saturn's not going to do them any good, but that's what they did. They had a feast during the time of this time of year, a feast called Saturnalia. If you read anything about it, it was a terrible thing. I mean, anything went in Rome anyway, but in Saturnalia, really everything got turned upside down. Parties weren't the name for it. They were orgies, really, I guess. But one of the things they had during this time of Saturnalia was that they gave presents to people. Ah, well, that's perhaps where this Christmas present thing has come from as well. But over time, the official church in the Roman Empire adopted, they didn't call it Saturnalia, they took over quite a few of the feasts of the pagan festivals and Christianized them, you'd say. How effective that was is another question, but we finished up with Christmas at this time of year. They were trying to figure out when Jesus was born. There's been a bit of dispute about that, but some of them dropped into the idea that it might have been during December. So we've got Christmas at this time of year, for better or for worse, as you could say. Well, that's the pagan version. But there is another thing happening right now. I don't know if you're aware of this, but last Thursday, the Feast of Hanukkah began. It's an 8-day feast. It's the Jewish festival, the festival of dedication of the temple. It's the Feast of Lights, we could call it. Jesus went to that feast, we read in John chapter 10. At the time of the Feast of Dedication, when it took place at Jerusalem, it was winter, and Jesus went up there and celebrated the Feast of Hanukkah, as it's called. It's spelled so many different ways. I've got one spelling there, but there are lots of different ways to spell it. And what's Hanukkah all about? Well, it's the time to remember and to thank God for the time when, after a period of real darkness, spiritually that was, for Israel, they'd been taken over by the Greeks, sold out to the Greeks, the temple had been desecrated, it was a terrible time, and eventually some group of people, the Maccabees and his family, they'd had enough, and they revolted against the Macedonians, and they decided they're going to chuck them out. Well, it was a guerrilla warfare for quite a long time, but this minor, small group of people actually beat the armies of Greece. Amazing! Well, God was with them, of course, that's why. And once they got to the temple, they found it was completely trashed, messed up completely. So they had a period of cleansing the temple for proper worship again. And while they were cleansing the temple, they found out that they'd run out of oil for the lamps. And all they got was one little bottle left of what we call holy oil, I suppose. It had been prepared in a certain way and had all the right rituals about it as well. They'd all got is one little bottle for a day's supply. And, well, they used the oil, and when they went back to find out it had all gone, it was all full again. And for 8 days, they had oil for the lamp, miraculously. And so, at the end of the 8 days, they'd managed to prepare enough for the next season and series of things, for the oil, yeah? But those 8 days have been remembered ever since as time of miracle, of God at work. And so the Jews celebrate the Feast of Hanukkah, and they give presents, but they don't do it on one day, they do it on 8 days. They've got this feast in crack, haven't they, really? And so that's a biblical feast at Christmas time, we could say. So they were celebrating God providing light and oil for the lamps. And then on the physical level, during the time of Jesus' ministry here on earth, we read in John chapter 9, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. Do you know, it must be terrible not to be able to see. Not being able to hear is bad enough, but not being able to see, I think, must be really difficult to live with. And yet, I know some blind people, really lovely, godly Christian, yeah? They managed to cope. What was that hymn writer? Fanny Crosby, wasn't
yes,
it? She was blind.
Yeah,
and she said, you know, the first person I'm ever going to see is Jesus. So she got the right attitude, of course. But physical sight is a real blessing. And here was this man, he'd been blind from birth. He'd never seen light at all. And Jesus said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. He'd been sent by the Lord, yeah? So he went and washed and came back seeing. Wow, what an experience, eh? And brothers and sisters, that's going to be a little bit like that for you and for me. Probably more for me, since I'm colorblind. But when I see Jesus, the whole light's going to light up, isn't it? And we're going to see differently. You know, one of the important things is that you read about Moses. He said, show me your glory, Lord. And Moses was told by God, you can't see my glory and live. If I show you what I'm really like, you'll die. Well, God showed him the back. He showed him the vapor trail, you could say, of his glory. But you know, one day we're going to see his glory. We'll have to die to get there, or be completely transformed resurrection-wise, but we're going to see His glory. We're going to see like we've never seen before. But right now, to enjoy the gift of sight is something we all take for granted so often, don't we? But you know, it's a real, real blessing. And thank God for that. Yes, and this man, he was... he didn't say he was walking and leaping and praising God, but I bet he was. And here, you work out the puzzle. What does that say? It's a verse. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And we'll follow that up in a little bit later on. But yeah, Jesus is the one that brings light to the world. And I want us just to think about this whole matter of light. There are many different aspects of the word light. As we'll see, in the Bible, light's associated with truth, purity, God's glory, and the promise of the coming of the Messiah. So we're going to look at some of those aspects of what light is meant to convey, because Jesus is the light that He comes to bring to us. Let there be light then. So what is light? We're going to think about that. Well, light is used as a term for salvation. There's a picture of the Galilee, down in the Galilee. And that was northern Israel, and a large proportion of the area there was occupied by the Gentiles. They had the very big cities there as well, the Decapolis it was called, yes? And we find here that there's a prophecy in Isaiah, long before it happened, and it says, in the future. How long was the future? And Isaiah was seeing ahead 800 years. That's pretty good eyesight, isn't it? That's called supernatural, actually, yes? In the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And of course, that first Christmas, whatever time of year it was, the shepherds saw it, didn't they? The light had dawned down there for them. But that was in the south, in Bethlehem. But the light that was going to bring light to the north had just been born. His name is Jesus, of course. He brings salvation. And they eventually went to live up there, of course. What is light? It's revelation as well, another idea. God shows you things. And this is a great one. This, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. That's from Malachi chapter 4. John Wesley put that in a hymn, a Christmas carol, didn't he? The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And the idea of the word wings, it says wings there, but you can, I've got in the picture there, it's the rays, the light shining out, and it makes itself visible through the atmosphere. And God shows you things. Has God shown you anything lately? Are you learning as you go on with Jesus? You know, the important thing in our Christian lives, Peter spelled it out very clearly for us, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. If you don't do anything else, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And the light of righteousness will shine upon you. And what is light? It gives direction as well, doesn't it? One of the amazing things about the light that the wise men saw, we have it here, it says, they turned up at Jerusalem and said, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Well, they'd spotted something that very few others had noticed, apparently. Quite what it was, there's been debate ever since it's written down, of course. What was the star that they saw? Well, I don't know what they saw in the north, but something that they saw when they left Herod's palace, it says they went on, they'd been told to go to Bethlehem, and as they started out, it says the light that they'd seen reappeared, and the amazing thing about this star was it moved, and it travelled, and it guided them, and it stopped right over the place where the baby was born. That's called God's sat-nav, I hope you'll realise. What was it? Is the glory? It must have been the glory of God. I mean, this isn't star stuff, it's this super stuff, this supernatural stuff. But the light gave them direction, and it guided them exactly to where they were going. Where were they going? To find Jesus, to worship the King of Israel. So that's how light gives us direction as well. Praise the Lord for that. And light gives us a purpose as well. It gives us a reason for doing things. We read in Psalm 119, which is a celebration of the Word of God, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Isn't that good, eh? Gives you direction, and it also tells you where you need to go. It's a light on my path. Shows me where I need to go. Gives us direction. That's God's word. And God's word tells you how to live, brothers and sisters. You knew that, didn't you? How to live. The things that please God is the things that the Bible shows us. Praise the Lord for that. And then, oh, it's a nice scene for you. In these cold and dark days, can you imagine this now? Light. What is light? It's a picture of wholesome living, yes. And there's a beautiful verse in Isaiah chapter 2 there. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. When it's beautiful sunny morning and you step outside and take a deep breath of this lovely air, isn't it good?
Yeah.
It's God's light. It may have come from the sun, but I know who sent it.
Yeah.
It's good. And so it's a picture of wholesome living, enjoying the blessings of God. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. How about this one? What is light? It's joy. We find in Psalm 97, light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. One of the things that is interesting in Hebrew poetry is that they say the same thing in a different way. It's called parallelism, basically. That's the idea. They say one thing and then express it in another way. And this is what's going on here. Light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. Well, the upright in heart are righteous, and light is joy. Brings joy into our lives. Yes, there's some times when you just feel the Lord blessed you so much. He has. Yeah. It's just you need to learn to appreciate it back sometimes. He's been good to us. Really has. And so we should be joyful. What was the mark of those early Christians? Holiness is definitely the core part of it. They were sold out for Jesus. Because what's one of the effects of their being sold out for Jesus was everybody knew they were full of the joy of the Lord. I find it amazing when Peter and John were arrested and they were brought before the Sanhedrin. You read that in Acts. They quizzed them, and Peter and John answered with such amazing wisdom and insight. The leaders, the authorities that were questioning them were completely amazed at these guys. They turned them out and had a discussion as to what to do about it. But one of the lines they say is, he says, they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Yes? Which is true. But they didn't see what I could see and you can see. It wasn't that they had been with Jesus, which was true. It was that Jesus was still with them by his Holy Spirit. And that's why they were joyful. Remember, Jesus had been with them, and they were locked in that room, frightened of the authorities. That was when Jesus had been with them. But now Jesus is with them, and you can't stop them. They are full of the joys of the Lord. Well, I hope your joy is doing well today. Good. And then, light is a form of understanding as well. We get to, you sometimes say, I've seen it, I've got it. And this is what it's about. There's a lovely verse in Psalm 119 again. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Hands up those who are simple. We're not that smart, are we, at times? Well, we can have lots of qualifications and letters after our names and all of that, you know. But when it comes to the spiritual, and maybe just what we call common sense, which seems in a short supply as well sometimes, it's a gift from God, and His word gives us light. Light gives us understanding of His word. That's what it's about. We can understand it. Imparts understanding to the simple. That's what God's word can do for us. His light that He helps us to see by. But you know, there's more to seeing than meets the eye. Is that right? And here I have an illustration for you at the time of Elisha. Elisha, the prophet, was in a particular city. And the king, one of the kings, wanted to capture Elisha and give him a hard time, I guess it would be. And so Elisha is holed up in this city with this foreign army all gathered around, and his servant goes out in the morning, opens the curtains, looks out the window and goes, ah! We're surrounded, boss, by all these foreign armies. What are we going to do? And Elisha prays, it says Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." But he could see, couldn't he? He's just seen this army. But there's more to seeing than meets the eye. And it was, this is the amazing thing about God, you know, he can cause you to see things that are there that nobody else can see. It's not that you're imagining it, it's that they really are there, but nobody else sees them. But then God opens your eyesight. And this young man, he says, God answered Elisha's prayer. He says he opened his eyes, and what did he see then? He says he saw the army still, hasn't disappeared, but then on the hills surrounding them all, he saw an army of horses and chariots of fire. Now, I remember reading Spurgeon about a comment about this. He says, "Horses and chariots of fire are a lot better than horses and chariots of flesh." You can't beat horses and chariots of fire. And I suspect that after that, Elisha's servant was saying, "Whoa!" His attitude changed because he saw, by God's grace, this wonderful army of God surrounding him. And Elisha then prayed. He prayed, blind this army. Well, did they stop seeing? No, they didn't. But the things that God didn't want them to see, they couldn't see anymore. And Elisha goes out to them and says, "Who are you looking for?" And they say, "Well, we're looking for Elisha. We want to take him." And Elisha says, "Come with me, I'll show you where he is." And he led them to the capital city where they were captured. And of course, Elisha very graciously says, "Send them home." And as a result of that, well, feed them and send them home. So the war was averted. That's the point. But what they saw and what was there isn't always the case. And God needs to open our eyes to be able to see things. And of course, he can stop people seeing things. I mean, there's the example in Luke at the end where Jesus, risen from the dead, walking along the Emmaus Road, he turns up with the disciples walking along the Emmaus Road. Jesus comes alongside them and he says they were prevented from recognizing him. God switched off the light for a moment. Do you know why he did that?
So they
didn't panic. That was one of the things. But Jesus, I don't love to have been there. This was a Bible lesson second to none. He talked through the scriptures describing what was going to happen to him, how it was all to be fulfilled and how it had been fulfilled. And he talked through all these amazing... This was a Bible study and a half. And there, he says, didn't our heart... They say later on, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the way? Now, I've got news for you. If they'd have been recognizing Jesus before he started, they wouldn't have heard a word. But now, once they've heard it all, he breaks the bread in front of them. And as soon as he breaks the bread, they recognize him and whoosh, gone. Oh man, our vision is not quite what it will be, and as a result it says there's more to it than meets the eye. It was the case for Elisha's servant too. And here we have this as well. This is a picture of the Transfiguration, and Paul, writing much later, describes something of that for us as well. Have you been to the Mount of Transfiguration? You see, what did the disciples see on the Mount of Transfiguration? Well, they saw Jesus, they saw Moses and Elijah as well, but they saw the glory of God on Jesus as it really is, and how he's going to be in his kingdom. This is a kingdom view that they have, and they see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the words of Father saying, "This is my beloved Son. Yes, I am well pleased with him. Do what he says." And they saw the glory on that mountain. Peter writes about it in his letter. But Paul says, you know, for you, believer, he writes this, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." When you look at Jesus, what do you see? Do you just see a man? A nice man. A good man. An amazing man who could teach and do things quite something wonderful. Well, if that's all you see, you haven't seen properly yet. He says we see the glory, but you see Messiah, you see the Son of God, you see his majesty. That's when you start seeing Jesus properly. Paul says, "I used to think of Jesus in one level, human level. Don't do that now." Do you know why? Because he met him. and he met the Lord in glory. And the glory was so great, what happened to Paul?
He was blinded.
He was blinded for 3 days. Why did God blind him? Why did the light blind him with the glory of God? I think he gave him 3 days to think about his life, what he'd been doing, and how wrong he'd been, and it turned him around totally. Yeah, sometimes, you know, God has to turn the light off to get you to think. Well, he did that with Paul. But then when he opened his eyes, Paul said, I've seen the glory. And it's true for every believer as we look on the Lord Jesus. And then there's more than meets the eye from this. He says, but if we walk in the light, and you know, I said this before, it's a Hebrew term to walk. I mean, we use it in English, of course, but the idea of Hebrew means to live. To have a constant practice, the way you behave. If we have a lifestyle in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin. Yes. This light produces two things. It's amazing. You know, this walking in the light, in God's revelation, it produces two things. We have fellowship with each other. We have fellowship with God, first and foremost, and then with each other. We're brothers and sisters. They're light. Do you love your brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
It's a command. You've got to love me. Oh, so good, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen, would it? There we go. Anyway, we love one another, but also, it says, this revelation shows us how the blood of Jesus purifies us from sin. You can walk with your head held high, knowing it's forgiven, forgotten, dealt with, past, gone. Hallelujah! Yes, and so we can walk with him in purity. We're going to walk with him forever. That's a glorious thing, walking with him. Praise the Lord. And then just a few more here, this uncreated light. That was what we saw at the beginning. It said, God said, let there be light. Where did the light come from? If you read Genesis chapter 1, it didn't come from stars and sun or moon, because moon reflects light, it doesn't create light. It didn't come from any of those. The sun was created after God said, let there be light. It was uncreated light, we would say. God's energy pulsing out into creation and making everything brand new, yeah? And we read at the end, when Jesus comes back and establishes his final kingdom, of the eternal kingdom of the Lord, we read here, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever. So who are the they? Who are the they in this beautiful verse?
Us.
Right. We shall reign forever with him. That's amazing. And there'll be no more night. What do you think to that?
Cool.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. God's going to give us some different form of energy if we're going to manage through the night as well. There's no more night. We'll have resurrection bodies. Do you think we'll need time to rest? I don't know, you speculate about this one. But anyway, he says there's not going to be any need for the light of the lamp or the light of the sun. Well, in this meantime, still thank the Lord, we can turn the switch and something comes on. It's great, isn't it? Yeah, but in then, you won't need light switches in the glory. And lastly on this one, it says in this city, the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Well, there you go. What's the sun in the new heavens and the new earth? It doesn't have a sun, but it does have the sun. He's the lamp. The glory of God shining out of it, yes. He said, and by its light, in the light of this city, the nations will walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory to it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. Well, we're reminded again, no more night. The gates are always open. What does that tell you and me? Constant access. We can come and go and joy in his blessing, in his presence, and serve him forever. Yeah. In the uncreated light. You notice how we're right back to the beginning of time again. When God created the world, before he created it, he said, let there be light. And now right at the end, the light is never going to end. Wonderful. Because it's God. So, finally, a few things here. We should thank God for the gift of light and eyesight, both natural and spiritual. You know, eyesight's an amazing thing, isn't it? Totally astounding. Just a little thought.
Eyesight can't evolve, dear friends. You've either got it or you haven't. You've got to have a brain, you've got to have the connections, you've got to have the system for focusing and all of that. And if you've only got a bit of it, it's not going to work. So here we are. We thank God for our ordinary eyesight and our spiritual eyesight. He's given us understanding. We sang this in a song a little earlier, and it's a great verse. With you is the fountain of life, in your light we see life. Something very practical about it, just on the natural level. Yeah? If you've got perfectly good vision, 20/20 they say, you know, if you've got perfectly good vision, and I put you in a room with no light, what would you see? Nothing. What do you need to see?
Light.
You need light. He's saying is this, God's the fountain of life, the source of light, in his light we see. Yeah. In other words, when he illuminates things and he causes us to understand and to experience these things, we get it. Praise the Lord. So last one for us is this. We're back to that verse that was at the Feast of Dedication. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Ah, Jesus. Wonderful, isn't he? Yes. And if we follow him, we'll never walk in darkness. That doesn't mean to say it won't be a straight, simple road, but he'll be with us, and we'll not be in dark. And we'll have the light of life, his joy and his blessing. And so I put that down there. It's an invitation, isn't it? Whoever follows me, who is the who in the whoever? That took some saying, that didn't it? Who is the who in the whoever? It's you and me. Again, I just want to quote Spurgeon, you know, it's a lovely thing he says. You know, when God says, he so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He says, whoever is a wonderfully broad word. A narrower word might have shut me out. You know, certain qualifications you have to be in order to be saved. He says, no, whoever is a broad word, and it means there's room for me to come through as well. And that's true there. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. That's wonderful. So you're invited. And I put at the bottom there, RSVP. What do I mean by that? We have to respond to him. You know, we respond to him. And let me just close with an illustration from the plant life. Many years ago, when I lived at Soham, we had some daffodils. And you've probably got daffodils in your garden, but this was quite a largest lawn, and there were daffodils growing in the lawn. And they popped their heads up in the spring, of course. It was interesting that the house was situated so that the light shone into the back garden, right? So it was facing southwards, really. That's the idea, right? And when the daffodils came up, do you know what they did? Their heads tracked the sun during the day. They were always focused on the light. In other words, they were responding to the light. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, with this time-lapse photography, you can actually see it much better now, of course. But yet, the plants respond to the light. If you've got plants growing in your house, you notice how they start bending towards the windows or whatever. Yeah? They're responding to the light. Brothers and sisters, you're to be a good plant. Respond to the light of God and be drawn towards him. Have your focus on it. Respondez-vous, s'il vous plaît. Yes? Right. That's good. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, thank you. You are all that your word tells us, being light, Lord, in every way. Such a blessing to us, Lord. Help us to be thankful, appreciate that. But Lord, better than that, to move towards it, to respond to you. You are the light of the world. May we walk in the light and have fellowship with you and know, Lord, and fellowship with each other and know that that precious blood of Jesus does keep on cleansing us from all our sins. Lord, what a Saviour. We love you. We thank you for being so gracious to us. Bless us as we worship you and grow towards you, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Lord, as we ask it to be that for us, day by day. Lord, praise be your holy name. Amen.
Amen.